This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is episode 95 from VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. You can go to Vintage Homeschool Moms, look for episode 95, and there you'll find the handouts and the show notes. So today I'm going to be talking to you about getting your life organized, part two. This discussion has started in part one, and the points I was covering in the first one is relationships, housekeeping, and cooking meals. And today I'm going to tackle homeschool, appointments, vacations, and break time. As always, I want to invite you to email me at felice@mediaangels.com. Leave us a comment on the podcast post, which is the episode 95 that you can find on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, as well as on any iPhone or Android device. You can download any of the episodes on a podcast app. Most of the phones come with them now. Or you can go get a free app, and hopefully someday we'll have our own Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network app. So my son's been working on one so far. It's been a really interesting journey, but that's a story for another time. And then you can also visit mediaangels.com. That's my website where you can find great books and classes, especially highlighting the American History class, which is an amazing class that was created by my brother-in-law specifically for homeschool kids. And I was the moderator of that, as well as the one that is going to be very pertinent as we're upcoming into an election year. And that is the government and elections class that you won't want to miss. So visit mediaangels.com for more information. And don't forget to join our email list at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. There you can find freebies every week when our newsletter goes out and we tell you what shows are upcoming. You'll get the entire schedule and any of the latest, greatest news, as well as any sales that are coming along. We like to let you know about all of that. Well, today I'm going to be continuing the talk on planning life, getting your life organized. And, I have to admit, as I said in the other podcast, that I haven't always been so well planned. I was organized in certain areas, and that was things that were important to me. Like my desk had to be organized or I couldn't think. If I started working and my desk was all messy, I'd have to get up and organize some things so I could think clearly. As the years have gone by, I have to sadly admit that the piles don't bother me as much anymore because I knew I didn't have time to address those things or I wouldn't get other things done. So for New Year's, I shared the story in the other podcast. Sorry to be repetitive, but if you're listening to this one as a standalone, I want to be able to share this with you. My resolution was to create lists because I failed to create lists. And in one way, when you're creating a list, you're being held accountable to what's on that paper. So I didn't want to make a list because I didn't want to be a failure or even put what was on my list into the next day because I felt like, that just showed, look at all the things you didn't get done, instead of looking at it and saying, wow, look at how much you did accomplish. So for our family, our Bible verse, which is our family motto, is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so if you are serving the Lord each day, it doesn't matter how much you get done, do the best you can. And hopefully this podcast and the other ones on our network are going to help you along that way. So today I am going to cover the next things on the list, and that is homeschooling, appointments, and vacations and break time. And so let's start with homeschooling, okay? I'm not a busy work type of person. I don't like a lot of workbooks and textbooks and things like that. But as the years have gone on, I've had to change some of the way that I homeschooled. And so in doing so, I had to realize that I needed a major plan to get through the school year. I loved it when the kids were little and we were doing unit studies and we were doing theme-based kinds of things. And every 6 to 8 weeks, we would switch and study something else. And yes, I knew what I was going to do for that year because I followed, you know, a plan. Like that year, we were going to study, let's say, astronomy and oceanography and geology, you know. So I had a plan of what our big chunks of our study were going to be around. But it was wonderful because I could read books with them. We could go on nature walks. We could journal. We could do notebooking and just a lot of other things that made homeschooling so much fun. And when they got older and I had to revert more, for especially for my college-bound kids, and that was more in the textbook workbook kind of a thing. We didn't use workbooks, but we did use textbooks. And, you know, we did use workbooks sparingly. Let's put it that way. They had to be really good, like Susan Marlowe's Reach for the Stars that teaches kids how to write fiction in a very easy lesson type of thing that is in a workbook. But so I had to break it up and say, okay, here's the math book. How long is it going to take us to get through this? How many days? You know, we have 180 days of homeschooling, and we needed to break that up into weeks. And then I had to break up the lessons in the book. And many times we found that there were too many lessons for the number of weeks, or there were too few lessons for the number of weeks. So, like, for example, in science, we could very easily do science two or three times a week and only do one chapter every 2 weeks. So things like that. So that's the first thing you're going to do is take out a calendar and look, circle the days that you're going to be homeschooling, circle the days that you're going to be taking a vacation or a break. Look for those days. If you have little ones, one of the things we did was every Friday was catch-up day. So if there were things that we didn't get done or we wanted to play games on that day or just go on a field trip, that was already scheduled in. And that was probably one of the best things that I ever did. And so the big thing is to plan your year. And again, I always get so excited to tell you about the stuff. I don't read the categories. So under homeschooling, it's plan your year, plan your day, projects, activities, car school, which I'm going to share with you about, and extra pages. Okay. So you're doing that. You're going to take your year, and you know what you're going to study that year, and you have your books, and so you're going to go through that. The second part of the planning your year is if you do the unit studies, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to break it down into weeks. You know, when are you going to teach math or English or grammar or writing or spelling? I never taught spelling. Let's put it this way. I taught spelling very briefly in my illustrious homeschool career since 1986, maybe once. I could not stand doing it in a workbook. It didn't, you know, I could go through the reading and teach spelling that way and work on spelling with their writing and their copy work. So that's kind of how I did it. And then when I needed to remediate, if I had one child in particular that had some difficulty spelling, and then that one child, I used a program, and I'll put the link in the podcast notes under episode number 95. I would tell you what it was if I could remember what it was, but I can't. And it was probably one of the best programs. But basically what it did was it took the root word of the word and you added on. So you learned foundational words, and then you would add the sounds on. And it was a great way to teach spelling as much as you possibly can in that way. And then, it had exceptions to rules. So again, with unit studies, you're going to break it down into the weeks that you're going to do the unit studies. You're going to have your activities and your books planned out, trips to the library and things like that. And then you're going to plan your day. What does your day look like? You know, when you're planning your homeschool day, you're also going to look at a lot of other things that I covered in the other podcast, like your meals and things like that. You're going to want to have meals that are simple as you possibly can for during the week. I'm going to tell you, my kids did not starve You know, I had a couple of kids that struggled with their weight at one time. It's not like they were underfed. We just kept our meals very simple through the homeschool week. And then on, you know, dinner and weekends, you know, we had more elaborate feasts, you know, for breakfast. But when you're planning, you know, you need to keep that in mind. So what is your day going to look like? Are you going to read to the kids while they're eating breakfast? Then you can eat your breakfast while they're cleaning up or brushing their teeth or doing their chores. That's probably one of the best pieces of advice I can give you, especially if you have younger kids. So you're going to schedule that, you know, breakfast, reading time, and whatever book you're reading as a family. Then you're going to switch it out. You know, I like to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday and Thursday. So, for example, I would do history and science either the 2 or the 3 days a week. So we would do, let's say, history Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on Tuesday and Thursday, we would do science. And then after Christmas, I would switch and we would do science Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and history on Tuesday and Thursday. Every day they would do math. Every day they would do writing. If you have them doing copy work, that's an everyday thing. Again, copy work and writing, you know, other than teaching your children how to, you know, make the different letters, you know, there shouldn't be a whole bunch of writing workbooks and things like that. I'm appalled sometimes when I see how much money people spend on curriculum. And a lot of it is stuff that they can just, you know, hand a child a Bible and have them copy some of the pages out of, you know. But anyway, there are some great, you know, different copy works out there that you can look at as well. Another thing is projects. And that's the next one on the list. So what projects are you going to be doing this year? Are you going to be doing history, science? Are you going to participate in something along those lines? So you're going to have time when you're working on that. You can schedule that for school time because it is school and they will learn so much more doing a history or a science fair project than you can ever teach in the books. And I'm telling you that from experience. We learned so much when the kids were doing those projects. And then what activities are you going to be participating in? Is there going to be a history fair, a science fair, a geography fair? Again, if you know what those activities are, if you're in some planning meetings with your homeschool group or you're organizing them, that really helps a lot to plan that in. And under activities, of course, there is going to be that, you know, very fond memory in my memories are the field trips. I don't go on many field trips anymore because the kids are older. But that was always something that we planned when we knew that field trips were coming up. And then, which I think is hysterical, a lot of areas have the not back to school parties. So if you want to attend something like that, put it in your schedule and you know, enjoy. Then I'm going to talk to you about car school. Okay, so what is car school? When the kids were little again, we reviewed what we learned that day. When the kids are older, we talk about politics or about something that's happening in current events. Even if we're not studying that, I want my kids to have an opinion and I want them to discuss it. Like right now, the elections are coming up, so there's a lot of discussion about different candidates. And so that incurs a lot of lively conversation. When they were little, what did we talk about? You know, if we were studying parts of speech, I would say, okay, let's look out the window and can you name me a verb? Can you name a noun? Can you name an adjective? Even the little kids who have no idea what you're talking about will start saying tree, plant, you know, and the other ones will kind of giggle and we don't want to make anybody feel bad. But then we start, you know, talking about these things. And a lot of times those little ones are like sponges and they're picking up all of this information. Or if you've been in the car, and I never had discipline problems in the car, I think, because I always had some activity we were playing. We would do the alphabet game. You know, start with a letter of the alphabet. You know, again, they could do, you know, they either could name something that started with the letter A that they were passing and then a letter B. Sometimes when they got older, we had them remember all of those previous things, like what the letter A was and what the letter B was. And they had to do that whole list. And And that got, you know, it works on your short-term memory. Very, very good activity. Other times we would listen to things in the car, whether it was a history song or a science song, to learn some vocabulary. Always learning in the car. So I always called it car school, because we would learn on the way to doctor's offices, or we would pray for a specific thing, or we would just do something fun. In the winter months here, we have a lot of tourists. So I would give the kids a blank map of the United States, and they would have to put do sticks for the numbers, and, you know, cross number. They'd do four sticks and cross it, the tally marks. That's what I'm looking for. So they would tally mark, you know, the cars from Indiana or the cars from Ohio, which were always had the most people, or the cars from Canada. Once they saw a car from Alaska, one time Hawaii, you know, which was a really big, you know, exciting event. Even to this day, they're older, and every once in a while they'll spot out a license plate from somewhere far away. And again, what did it do? It helped keep them, you know, entertained. It helped them with their math skills. It helped them, you know, keep engaged. And they learned the states, you know, and the location of them on the map. So again, that's something fun to do. And again, plan for that. Have those papers ready to go. Keep a clipboard in the car. Have one person pass them out, you know, however you want to do it. And then the extra pages. Okay, I've already told you I'm not into really busy work, but there are going to be days when you're not feeling well, when something comes up, when you have a neighbor come over that needs to talk to you or pray with you, when the phone rings, and even though you've got voicemail, you have to answer it. So those are the times that I would tell the kids to go do the fun chart. If I was going to work with them, let's say we're going to get together and we're going to work on history now. Okay, mom got, you know, detained some way. They would know to pull out the fun charts. And the fun charts were a state map, a human body, birds of prey, common birds, the presidents. And the kids just looked and studied and practiced the names. They would take turns asking each other. They would stand far enough back so they couldn't read the names. And I would have the same chart where I would just write all of these things down on a paper, and I would print them out. And from time to time, we would do a contest where they were pitted against themselves. If you don't like contests between siblings, or you could do it against siblings, or you could do it in groups when you have friends over. And it was a great way to practice. This is the same thing when I was busy or I didn't get to them. They were supposed to do their Hebrew and Greek or Latin roots, learn math terminology, or study some vocabulary words that they were having difficulty with. Or one of my favorite is to take out a piece of paper, you know, a story that they've written or a nonfiction piece, and they had to go through and take some of the more simplistic words and find more difficult words. Another fun thing that I did for activities between the kids was when we were grading papers, a lot of times for proofreading, because I'm an author and a publisher, so proofreading is a big thing around here. But we would just exchange papers, and I would have my son read my daughter's, my daughter read my son's. They would proof it, circle things, correct things, give it back to their sibling. They would correct them, and then they would give them to me so that I'm not getting them the first time. It's been years, and then just the other day this happened, that I looked at a paper that one of my children submitted, who will remain nameless, and there was not capitalization of the word United States, really. So that paper was, you know, I didn't even look at it any further than the first sentence. And I don't remember what the excuse was for that, but yeah, that had to be corrected. Well, before we get to the next point, let me take a break here for a commercial, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for a Bible study for the entire family? Well, I created one after searching for months for a study that would encourage my family to have group discussions, teach life truth, as well as point to God as creator. So, since I couldn't find one, I created one, Homeschooling with Proverbs. I didn't want to zoom through the book of Proverbs in 1 month, as some suggest. Instead, I wanted to savor and meditate on the words and have the entire family on the same page. If you want a Bible study written for the entire family with specific audios and activities from pre-K to adult, look no further. This set can be used studying one lesson per month, or completed in 9 months or sooner. The option is yours. In this set, you will find audios, printables, and when completed, you and your children will have a beautiful keepsake notebook. Visit homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information and begin studying the book of Proverbs. Allow God's word to speak to you.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and we've been talking about getting your life organized. The first podcast talked about relationships, housekeeping, and cooking meals, and this podcast is on homeschooling, appointments, vacations, and break time. And so now I'm going to go through some of the appointments that we tend to have that seem to just disrupt our entire life and our homeschool day. And under appointments, I just have the major two, and I'm going to just set up. The first one is setting up appointments, and the second is grocery shopping, because that seems like the biggest thing for me. And then the third is sports and activities. So, well, you know, while you may have planned for some specific activities that your kids are going to be doing for your homeschool, these other things crop up and they can be life-changing and they can really mess things up. This summer, that happened to me, but I'll share that with you when I get to point C here. Okay, so let's look at the appointments. So you're going to set up a day on your calendar where you're making your appointments. The ideal is to do it all one day, to go to the dentist and regular checkups, but life being the way it is and traffic, not always a good thing to be able to do. But you can, a lot of people get their appointments done in the summer before school starts, and that's great. But if you have something like a filling or, you know, something else that has to be done, it doesn't always work so well to not be able to schedule for that. So that's really, really important to do. So set up a time to do that, and hopefully you can add something like a grocery trip or something else while you're out. Because I'm going to tell you, if you go to the dentist, you know, a lot of times when you call, they'll say, do you want to come in like at 3 o'clock? And then you'll say, oh, well, I homeschool, I can come in the morning. And then you're thinking later, why did I say that? And the reason we say it is because we don't want to be there with all the after school kids, but you're going to be there with all the little babies. So, you know, a better time for me is I try to do it right before lunch if I want to do it during the day, or right after lunch. Before lunch works really well because the waiting room is normally cleaned out before lunch. And then you're not going to have to wait long because everybody wants to take their lunch break as well. So that typically works for me. Another is grocery shopping. A lot of times when the kids were little, we did it on the weekends or evenings when dad was around, where I could leave the kids and run out. Now I break it up into stores. I always do the big warehouse store where you need, you know, a membership to go. That's the one I do. And unfortunately now it seems like I'm going more than my, you know, twice a month that I used to go. I swear I go weekly now. Because we are such a big family that we use a lot of things. And my son does the big box stores. And that means, you know, it's a store that has groceries, clothing, household items, things like that. So if we want to buy things that are not going to be at the warehouse stores, you know, he does that shopping because he just loves that store. And my dad does the grocery store and his specialty Italian stores for things such as grated Romano cheese that has to be, you know, the chunk that he either grates or he gets it already grated. So we each have our stores that we shop, and then we know that it's time to refill. Like I'll get eggs and I get milk and I get butter and some of the, you know, bigger bulk item things, cheese and lettuce, things like that. I'll get the meats there and, you know, the things that are going to be a little bit better price and better quality there, some of the frozen things. Whereas my dad's going to be getting more of the fresher items, you know, more of the vegetables and things like that. And my son is going to, a lot of times I price shop, and sometimes I'll find that, you know, paper towels are cheaper, At that store, or some other things that I want him to get. Or, for example, I like a specific kind of yogurt that's going to be much more money at the grocery store. So anyway, we've broken it up that way. So yes, I have three different lists of things that I buy at three different stores. And so we can quickly run down those lists, circle what we need, and go from there. And what is resorted now, and I think I shared this either in this podcast or the last one, and that is that we get the grocery list sent in text message, and plus I have a master list that I've emailed to myself so that I can just quickly skim down the list and I'll know if we need something. Something that worked really well for us years ago, and in fact I was even, which we thought was hysterical by the way, written up in the newspaper. I mean, back when we first started homeschooling, I think we were in the newspaper more than I've ever been in my life. One time the kids did a science experiment and somebody heard about it and that we did a lot of science. So they had to come over and recreate it, and take pictures of the kids doing science experiments. I'll have to find that newspaper clipping. I'll have to scan it and do a blog post about it because it's funny. But my two oldest may not appreciate it as much, but of course I think they're still adorable. And and then another time I was talking to somebody else who told somebody, and then I get a call from the newspaper saying, you know, can we do an interview on you and your freezer cooking? Okay, remember, this is way before, you know, computers were big and blogs were big. We had computers, but they weren't, you know, we didn't have four in the house. You know, you had one. And so I had this chart that I created on my computer, and I had, all the frozen foods that were in the freezer. And so I had laminated it. So as we took things out, I would erase, like the number of, like, for example, if I had frozen chicken and I had three chickens, there'd be three slash marks there, or tally marks. And then I would just, you know, erase it. And as you can imagine, if the kids were helping out, you know, those letters or lines or whatever got fudged. But then I always knew, you know, I had magnets on it, of course, and then it was on the freezer. So I just knew what was in the freezer. So when I needed to order, I could just go quickly or get the kids to read me what we needed. Same thing for the pantry. We kept things stacked where it goes so that you don't find that, you know, one bottle of ketchup buried behind, you know, the mayonnaise jars or whatever. And so that kept things, you know, nice and organized. And it was just so much easier to shop that way. And then, you know, if you can't break up shopping to different people, what you can do is schedule dates when you are going to shop. And my daughter does this, you know, that a specific night of the week is their shopping night. And then they'll get dinner out and just do it in that way. Or pack sandwiches. My daughter's very, very frugal, and so they've done that as well, where the kids eat sandwiches, you know, on the way to getting the groceries, and so then mom and dad eat later on. So, you know, just some ideas there for scheduling your appointments, and especially grocery shopping, because I feel like that is the biggest thing. And then the last one under appointments is sports activities. And I have to tell you my story of the summer. So my kids want to play college sports. And, you know, if you listen to our podcast, you'll see that there's quite a few different sports ones that I've done. I did one on vintage homeschool moms. So your kids want to play college sports. Jean Burke did one under College Prep Genius about getting scholarships if your kids play sports. And there'll be more of those. But so it's, of course, a hot topic for me right now because we're in the midst of this. And both kids were going to play on travel teams. And they've played on travel teams before, but it's always been one kid played that year and we rotated and took turns. Well, now with two in high school, you know, it changed a little bit this year. Well, I didn't realize until I looked at the schedule and my stomach just dropped that we were going to be at a softball or a baseball field somewhere in Florida sometime every weekend. And I was just really not a happy camper, let's put it that way. Because I love my kids and I love to encourage them and all of that, but I did not realize it was going to be every weekend. And my son's travel team mostly was here. We had kids from as far away as, you know, 3 hours away that were on the team. Anne's team. We ended up not finishing with it because there were some games that were going to be in Georgia and out of state. And she doesn't really want to play out of state, so it wasn't going to be a good fit. Plus, a lot of times with softball, especially with girls in high school, that the schedules change because either they have teams that drop out. So one weekend, we had to make two different hotel reservations in two different places, in two different cities in Florida, and then it was canceled. So that was just way too much for my busy schedule, and it turned out she played All-Stars, which was out of Fort Myers, and we could all live happily ever after. And then she did a skills camp, so that was all good. But we had to last minute fit these activities into our already busy schedules, you know, plus some other little vacation trips and breaks in between. So it was a scheduling nightmare. Some weekends, my husband was one place and I was another. Other weekends, we were all together. So, you know, and then you've got the dog and, you know, my dad that lives with us. So it was really difficult. If I could do that again, I would never do it again, which I'm not going to have to because my daughter is a senior this year. But it was just something that from now on, I'm going to, you know, let other people know and keep that in the forefront, because you may not realize it when you're signing the kids up. That some teams, especially some of the more highly competitive teams, are going to be playing just about every weekend. So that was news to me. So again, having those appointments, knowing when to schedule, are going to be very helpful. And then the last thing on here is vacation and break time. And why do we need to schedule that? Well, again, because many people have a set time where they have to take their vacation time. A friend of ours works for a big company, and they had a staycation because they didn't really want to go anywhere else. You know, we live in beautiful Southwest Florida. But also they had already taken a vacation, a family vacation, and he has to take 2 weeks every year or he loses them. So, you know, many people have, you know, that week that they plan. And so you want to plan that when you can around your regular school routine. So when the kids were younger, you know, we had every Friday that was our catch-up day, and that this is more in the line of break day, break time. And then the next point I'm going to talk about is vacations. So, you know, that was really helpful to have a day that we could do our field trips, where we could have a catch-up on different things, where we could even do a little staycation where we would go and plan that time, you know, as a family, or if my husband was home, to be able to go to local places. Like just here in Southwest Florida, I mean, we're not in New York City. We're not in some of the bigger cities like Atlanta that have all of these amazing things. We don't live in D.C. that has the Smithsonian, but our little Fort Myers has some really cool things. We have a Shell Museum on Sanibel Island that is wonderful. We have Edison's home and the Ford home. And museum. We have several hands-on museums for kids. We have a historic museum downtown. We have the Philharmonic in Naples and the Barbara B. Mann Performing Arts Theater in Fort Myers. And so we have lots of really awesome things. I mean, Florida in general, there's a lot of things happening in Orlando and Tampa with more of the amusement park kind of things. We ended up getting family tickets for Christmas last year or the year before, and that was a lot of our trips were planned around just going up to Tampa for the day, which is 2.5 hours, and spending the day there and coming home. And it was just a fun little break. Everyone's busy. We didn't have a chance to take a big week-long vacation, so that was what we did instead. And then also, you know, with vacations, I'm sorry, I'm such a homeschool mom, so don't laugh as I share this with you, but while we planned it, I also planned my homeschooling around our vacations, and I made some of it an educational trip. Yes, I should not apologize to most of you who are listening. We did do the Smithsonian's in D.C. My sister-in-law Jody lives outside of D.C. in Virginia, and that was awesome. We had our own personal, you know, tour guide, but a lot of times if we would go and, like, we went to visit the mountains and we brought back rocks for our geology unit, or we visited Colonial Williamsburg after a unit study on the colonial period, Or we went up north to see fall leaves and press them. Yes, you know, us southern people have to go see the leaves falling, although I was born in New York. I missed that tremendously. And so we planned some visits to see the fall leaves. And, you know, I know it's funny to you up north people, but you can come to Florida and see the manatees and see the dolphins that we have in the winter and visit the Ford and Edison homes and the Shell Factory and the Shell Museum on Sanibel and Captiva Islands and learn all that. But it's so much fun if you're planning a vacation and you can have some of your homeschooling in the back of your head that you want to, you know, gather some things, not necessarily that you have to study them that second, but that you would have them when you got back home. And I want to share with you a funny story, and or I think it's humorous. And that was one year we were going, we were flying up to Virginia, and Neil and Christina were in middle school, I think, they were in middle school or upper elementary school. And so I had packed some things, fun things for them to do, and we'd been studying rocks. So I found a small little book that was on rock identification, and then I purchased the rocks that matched the rocks in the book. And I gave it to the kids in a little baggie that was, you know, had the rocks in it and the little book, and they were supposed to identify the rocks on the plane trip up. Well, as, you know, life is, you know, there's three seats and there's, you know, four of us at the time. So my husband and I sat together and the two kids thought it was a big adventure to sit across the aisle from us. And an older gentleman sat on the aisle seat and he leaned over to me and he said, "Are you the mom?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you mind if I, you know, play along with them?" So I thought it was so great that this, you know, grandpa gentleman was so excited about the rocks and he had the best time along with the kids. And it was educational, it was something fun they did, and we still have the rocks today and those little books that have been enjoyed not only by the older kids, but by my younger kids and my grandkids alike. So if you plan, you know, and that was a mountain trip there too, and then we found some different types of rock, you know, some sedimentary rocks that we brought back that was really, it was really fun. So, you know, it's something that you can do that doesn't take a lot of time. And again, this isn't something you're going to just sit down one day and say, okay, I'm going to plan and organize my life. You know, you're going to take each thing in a compartmentalized way. You're going to break it down into bite-sized pieces, and you're going to tackle these things as you can. It would be nice to have, you know, all of these things ready to go and done when your school year starts, but you can take it in the order, you know, that you possibly can do it and go from there. And remember, life throws you those curveballs. And that also brings things into perspective. And yes, you're going to need to make changes from time to time. But if you have that master plan, you know where you're going, things are going to go so much more easier. And this I can promise you. And I will pray for you this school year as you pray for me, for mine. We've got a lot of changes here with the 15-year-old that just got his learning permit and senior this year. So it's going to be bittersweet, I know, by the end of the year. And so I'm going to treasure every moment with my kids as I see them grow up again, because I already went through this with two older kids, and now the three younger are growing up, and just treasure each one of those days. And I just really pray that both of these episodes were helpful to you. So again, leave me a comment. Give us a rating on iTunes under Vintage Homeschool Moms. I'd appreciate that. And God bless, and I'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.